Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
We are in our 7 o'clock hour, and it is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We have gone through the list of moves that went down when it comes to the NFL trade deadline, which passed. It was over yesterday at 4 p.m., and we saw with it the Falcons not make a move. And so a lot of people, I'm going to pull a bow. Am I going to pull a bow here?
A lot of people
do it.
People
do it. Let the hate flow through you.
I don't have any hate in my body, but a lot of people have been. Let the hate flow. It's why I can't stand you.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been, getting a pulse of the Twitter.
What people?
The social people?
I'm late, Tiffany. What people? Oh, your Twitter people?
Are your Twitter people, Tiffany? A lot of people not happy that they did not make a move, but was it necessary?
That's actually a great way to phrase that question. That is maybe.
Don't put that hate on me, Ricky Bobby. Okay, I was it necessary? Time will tell. I wanted them.
A guy used to say that to me.
I know,
freaking clown.
Well, you said it to me. I'll just wait and see.
Time will tell. Loser.
What I will tell you, easy. What I will tell you is that I mean he might have been, but not you.
Sorry,
I don't think so. I wanted them to make a move, but I also did not want them to make a move where you not only mortgage a future, but just give up on the future for a player that is A, not your future, and B, doesn't put you over the top. Za'Darius Smith was a guy that I think a lot of people targeted, right?
Yeah. He was a popular name out there, there's no doubt.
Three-time Pro Bowler. I think he had double-digit sacks three times in his career and had five this year. He wasn't coming here, though, playing oppo Myles Garrett. And he, for whatever reason, they couldn't get that deal done. And I think, and Azeez Ojulari, the Giants weren't trading. I still don't know if either one of those guys, though, was the player that said, now the Falcons are going to the Super Bowl.
Yes. And that's where the truth lies, right? Are you one player away? Because we've already talked about the fact that you've traded away three picks. Now, you might get one back, but next year you got rid of three picks in next year's draft. And I think that's the question, Bo, that answers what Tiff said. And I love the way that Tiff phrased that question is, should they have made a move? I get why they didn't, because I'm with you. I don't know that they are one player away from me being their Super Bowl champions. And when you look at the teams that did make those moves, let's talk about the Baltimore Ravens. Let's talk about the Detroit Lions, maybe even the Washington Commanders, who we'll see in a couple of weeks. I think those teams feel like they are one player away. And I think the Falcons are very, very good. I think a Super Bowl run is possible in this team. But not enough to where, and we've already shown it, that this is a team that's focused on longevity, not on right now. And I think that showed out yesterday at the trade deadline.
When you say that, let me even break it down more. This is a team that's trying to make a 2 to 3 to 4 year run with this core, and that's depending on how long they decide to stay with Kirk Cousins and the Michael Penix stuff, which is not even in talk, a conversation right now, but that's just a 2 to 4 year run is what this team's looking at, not a one and done. And that is why you brought Ryan, because you have this core that's together for at least a couple more years. Kyle Pitts will be under this same kind of another year. Drake's got a couple more years. Bijan, they're young players with that. And then you have some defensive guys that are young, too. You've already locked AJ up. Jesse's under contract. So that's what, to me, it's about for the next couple years. It doesn't mean you're not going to make one this year. We've seen it happen before. Atlanta was 7-5 in 2016 in December, mind you. December. Just remember that.
Yeah.
So when you look at the pass rushers that you had named that could have maybe been up for grabs and that didn't happen, are you confident enough in this defense that they can help them to make that Super Bowl run, given what we saw at least against Dallas? And I know Dallas has their struggles, but maybe that gets the ball rolling, at least in the sack department.
I am confident in this defense is ascending right now. That's what I will say. Now, I think getting through some of the playoff quarterbacks that you'll have to play and some of the running games you'd have to play down the stretch, that's another conversation. You're not getting what you need out of Matthew Judon. Let's put it plain and simple. You made the trade that everybody was talking about making yesterday. You already made that trade. You traded for Matthew Judon for a third rounder. You already did that. The bottom line is you're having the conversations yesterday because you're not getting what you thought you would out of that trade the first time around. Matthew Judon is not getting home, and a lot of times it doesn't even look like he's trying to get home. We watched him on tape numerous times, and we talked Monday about the fact that D'Angelo Malone was getting some of his first burn of the season. There's a reason for that. If you think Matthew Judon is that guy and you're Jimmy Lake and Raheem Morris and you think Judon's going to get home in some of these big situations, you don't risk it by putting D'Angelo Malone on the field for him. But right now you're getting better productivity out of D'Angelo Malone than you are Matthew Judon because he's playing very, very, very hard into the whistle.
Yeah, I think you also saw the most snap counts Ebba Cady's gotten all year, and he played 70% of the defensive snaps, which was 54 snaps. Judon played it 52%, which was at 40, which if I go back, he's always in that 40 range. His biggest play in the last few weeks was a pass breakup Sunday, actually. Judon, I'm speaking of, yeah. Which probably saved a touchdown for a screen pass because they had it set up. They had two guys on two guys, and Jake Ferguson was about to rumble down the field.
So why do you think it's not working?
Because he's not, I'll tell you for sure, he's not winning his one-on-ones. He's getting there. Whether you like Jimmy Lake's defense, whether you like the DBs playing at death, whatever you want to talk about, they are absolutely giving him one-on-one opportunities, Tiffany, and he is not winning them. And whether it's he's out of shape, which I've heard, whether he's playing through an injury, whether the Patriots knew something we didn't, whether he doesn't trust the bicep. I don't know what it is, but he won those early in the season, and he's not winning them now.
He looks like a guy on film to me. And we've talked a number of times, guys, about Jimmy Lake's defense playing off, allowing the underneath throws, allowing the quick throws. And that's one of the reasons you've had both the last 2 weeks. We've come out and said after the first quarter, I think Baker Mayfield and Dak both, I don't know that either one of them threw an incompletion in the first quarter, right? And so you look at the depth. Matthew Judon, to me, is playing like a guy who knows that the ball is going to come out very quickly, right? It's almost like he's looking to tip the pass or to jump and tip a pass. Now, there are situations where that is coached and that is being told, but now it's kind of bled over into, your five-step drops and the quarterback's back there, and he still looks like he's in that kind of situation. So, Tiff, I don't know. To answer your question, it's a great question. I don't know the in-game answer to that because I think every different situation I see Matthew Judon in calls for a different ability, and he's not getting home in any of them.
The people that want to crush Arnold Ebiketie, and I hear it a lot. I know that some of them are on Twitter, Tiff. I've heard,
impulsive.
Let the hate flow.
People.
But I'm going to tell you, rewatch the game or watch the All-22. Figure out how to watch. You can go NFL.com or NFL Plus, whatever. The way they come off of the ball, Judon compared to Ebiketie, they are two different players, but they are playing
it's visible
completely. One is quick, and I hate the violent, but one is rated NC-17 for violence compared to the other one.
Yeah.
And it's not that bad. It's not like they're different. I don't understand because I think Judon, I know the guy, he's that guy. That's why I'm like, is it an injury? Or maybe, Mike might have a point, and I never even thought about it. I don't think anybody on those radio stations brought it up, is playing for the quick the quick pass to come out. But what I will tell you is that the guy that might be used more, the biggest key to me in this defense is getting Troy Anderson back. And the reason I think it's that is I think that they can use Caden Ellis in so many different ways. And I only expect him in the pass rush game, even off the edge, to go up. I don't think they want him coming off the edge constantly. I think he's too light in the rear a little bit. And sometimes guys like that, you know, only at 240 pounds, that was one of the knocks on Vic Beasley. That's the thing you love about Judon and Ebikadie. They're both a little bit bigger, you know. But I think you could see him used in a lot more versatile ways. And, you know, we could get down the road and we might get to week 12 or what are we, week 9 now? I know we're in week 10. So, let's go. We might get to week 16 and you might say, man, Caden Ellis has had 5 sacks since the trade deadline.
Ooh. Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be awesome because that would mean we've
Hey, don't tempt me with a good time.
I mean, hell, week 8, we had 6 as a team.
Hey, let's go.
So,
this hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. The first ever 12-team college football playoff rankings have dropped. Who got disrespected? And who needs a little bit more respect? We'll discuss next when we come back on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The 12-team college football playoff rankings, the first ever edition, dropped last night with Oregon coming in at the first seed. And then you have Ohio State 2, Georgia 3, Miami 4, Texas 5, Penn State 6, Tennessee 7, Indiana 8, BYU 9, Notre Dame 10, Alabama at 11, and Boise State at 12. So yeah, a lot of some other notable teams left off of this. And so who got disrespected? Well, and I'm wondering if maybe, okay, please, you raise your hand.
Well,
Alabama did not get disrespected, Mike. They got 2 losses.
Who?
Alabama did not get disrespected.
And you should even cite the disrespect amongst the list. Who should have been higher? I was thinking about who's been left off, but go ahead.
Well, I want you to comment on this, too, because you've seen this team up close and personal. Army at 8-0 sitting at 25 just seems a little bit out of pocket to me.
That's what I was going to say. But then you look at the strength of competition, and I would need to pull up their schedule again.
Sure.
Of who they've taken out. There hasn't been like a marquee, you know, opponent, right, until they're going to see Notre Dame.
Right. And to your point, and you brought it up a minute ago, they do play Navy, who's a quality opponent, and but it's after the college ball playoff rankings are, the final ones are revealed. So,
and that's no disrespect to Army. I just had them. We had a great meeting with their coach and everything like that. But I also don't think a lot of people expected them to be where they're at right now. So, and I will say in our game, we didn't get the full Army effect because Bryson Daly, their quarterback, was kind of a last minute, hey, he ain't playing. I was like, okay.
He's so screwed everybody.
He's the old, by the way, ding.
You know, he's not going.
He ain't
going
to be out there today.
So
I've screwed everybody up with Bryson Daly's name.
I know. And I'm like, I covered the game and I messed it up because of you. That's what I'm going to blame it. No,
my bad. No, I think Navy and is Navy's hurting Army right now because of what Notre Dame. Yeah, they are. But Notre Dame ran through them like,
they did.
You know.
They did.
Grabbed through a tin horn is what you wanted to say.
I was going to say.
Crap through a what?
A tin horn. That's a Saban.
I was going to say something else, but I don't, you know. I don't,
that's a Saban hat tip to Georgia Southern.
What if I'm just having some fun here. What if I think Georgia's been disrespected at being behind Ohio State? Because Georgia went into Austin, Texas,
and took
and
out.
Won. Now you can say Ohio State went into Penn State, but
it's not the same.
It's not. And you own one team. You've owned for you know Ohio State has owned Penn State for pretty much all of the James Franklin era, maybe then a year or two.
I will agree with you.
Never thought I would.
Granted,
I do think at this point Georgia's the best team in the SEC. And I think if they played that game over with Alabama right now, I think they'd win.
Yeah, because I don't know where what Alabama's.
I don't either. But that's kind of where that falls to me. You look at what their losses are. Ohio State's loss is to the number one team in the country, and Georgia's loss is to the current number 11 team in the country, and that's just the nature of the beast.
But I mean,
that's just how it is.
Beat the number one team.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that carries more weight?
You're talking about because, yeah, I mean, like, not to me, no. I think you just compare the two losses to me, and that's exactly what the College Football Playoff Committee did.
So they're comparing losses but not comparing wins.
I don't think so at that point. And in my opinion, maybe it matters, but maybe it doesn't. As long as you kind of stay status quo for Georgia right now. And here's what Georgia fans are trying to have to come to grips with. You're probably going to play in the SEC title game, right? You're in the driver's seat right now, and – what does that look like, right? If you go in the SEC title game and for whatever reason were to lose that SEC title game. It's like, and Drew Butler said this word, penal, which I thought was a hilarious word, but he's spot on. Yeah, he's spot on when he talks about it. It feels penal to play in the SEC title game right now because of all the seeding that goes on.
Well,
with this.
Look, here's the problem. You want to buy, you got to play in your conference title game, okay?
Yeah.
That is just how the system is made. Don't like it. I don't know what to tell you, but that is it. If Georgia goes to the SEC championship game, they are in the college football playoff. Now, if you don't like the fact they're having to play another week or whatever, I'm sorry, but that is how it works to get a buy. And these conferences went to – college football went to 12 teams because of one reason and one reason only. Money. They went to the conference title games for one reason and one reason only. Money.
Yeah.
You are crazy if you think they're going to give up the money they're making. They're not, and especially with paying the players. You can't have everything, okay? You can't have a 12-team playoff. You can't have players getting paid. You can't have all these things if you don't have a conference title game. It is just part of it. So, and I don't disagree with what the premise of Drew's statement. He's a proud member of Squid Nation, and we love Drew Butler and the nation. Mm. The problem is, it's the cost of doing business, brother.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that, and I agree with
you.
There's
all truth because I said it.
But let's be honest, and I know you love when I do that.
Yes, please.
If you're going to add one game to your schedule, you'd love to guarantee that it's just adding one game to your schedule. And yet, you cannot guarantee that. You might be adding two games to your schedule by doing that. If you didn't have the conference title games and you just finished first place in your conference, that was never going to be a possibility.
But it's a sacrifice. But,
right. And you are basically saying, we have to win in Atlanta or, you know, risk not having that that first round bye.
But
and now you're playing another extra.
You're also playing. But why don't you look at it this way? You're playing in Atlanta on a neutral field to skip going somewhere and playing, right? So you're giving up the possibility for some teams. It's giving up the possibility of playing. You're still playing an extra game, but this now you might be playing it, you know, in Happy Valley or right. Columbus, right? You might have to go back to Austin, Texas. I don't know. You don't ever know who'd be in that. But that's the reality is Eugene, Oregon. You know, you might have to go there. Ooh. Like, that's the reality. That's why you're okay with playing that because you might have to go.
That's awesome. That's a tough place
Alton,
to.
Yeah.
And it's going to be cold, Tiff. Yeah. You know, out there, Alton, it's cold and wet this time of the year.
Yes, it is.
And if you go to Happy Valley or Columbus, Ohio, both places you've done games, it's cold and snowy even colder than it is at Eugene.
Well, and I think I'm glad you brought up Austin, Texas, because I think Texas is actually a prime example, more so than maybe Georgia right now, because Georgia is obviously, you know, going to have a good contingent in Atlanta. But I think when you look at Texas right now, if they were to play Georgia in the SEC title game, which is a possibility, I know that there's a number of other teams that have that possibility as well. But Texas, it almost feels like it's like, dude, do we have to? You know what I mean? We would be looking at a home playoff game. Right. Unless you go in and just get drummed And then maybe you fall back to playing an away playoff game because you played Georgia in the SEC title game. And that's when I think that word kind of comes in to factor, because you're going, we already got drummed by Georgia, and then we're going to play them again, and that's going to make us be an away team in a playoff game.
This is why the reason I'm okay with this is because it makes the regular season still matter.
Touché.
Maybe as much as ever for more teams. And that's part of the beauty of it. So if that's the sacrifice I have to make to get a 12-team playoff, and maybe one day if I'm lucky it'll affect a team I pull for. So, man, I don't know.
Is that your Christmas wish this year?
Speaking of Texas and those games, yeah.
I mean, so if that's the sacrifice you have to make, so be it. It makes our sport better.
I talked to another Florida fan yesterday, and he brought up DJ Lagway in our conversation yesterday about he hasn't been ruled out of playing this weekend.
Please don't play him.
And
I don't want to get hurt more.
I had somebody text me and go, that is the most Paul Pierce thing I've ever heard. Like, you know,
get carted off,
back in the locker room, and then all of a sudden come jogging out later, like, you know, and be the hero of that situation. So, I don't know. I didn't have a ton of issue, though, guys, to kind of sum it up. I didn't have a ton of issue with the poll last night. And I don't know if it's because it's early or the fact that I honestly kind of felt like Bama got a favorable ranking and you know, ahead of some of those one-loss teams out there. But I think my clear takeaways were the Big 12 feels like it's probably getting disrespected a little bit, along with the likes of Army, Boise, and some of the other teams around there. And it's very clear that the Big 10 and the SEC have favor amongst these college football playoff ranking voters. There's no doubt in my mind.
No, I think that's pretty much well said, because when you look at this and how it stacks up, that's who's dominating the college football rankings right now. But it's just, I'm curious to see what ends up happening, as we all are, at the end of all this.
Yeah.
And also, I wonder if there could be an undefeated team at the end of all this.
Looking at Indiana
and BYU, Miami, and I don't know, and of course, Oregon.
Miami is another team that I'm very curious to see what that looks like in a conference title game, because they've had some, they've played well, but they have had some close victories. They don't seem bulletproof as an undefeated team right now, and I think that there would be a lot on the line for that conference in that game.
Wes was talking about this yesterday on Dukes and Bell. He joined them, and he said Miami has an LSU 2019 feel. And I don't think they're nowhere near as good. I don't think they're going to have three guys that are tearing up the NFL. But his point is remember there was a while there, that 2019 LSU team, the only way they could beat you was outscore you.
Well, I was going to say
that. And that's what Miami's
doing.
They gave
up like 45 to Bama, but scored 52 or something
like
that.
Yeah.
Miami has Georgia Tech left in their schedule.
This weekend, I think, right?
Yep, that's the 9th. Wake Forest and then Syracuse. So,
like, that was the GPA comment I made yesterday. And here's what I'll say, though. I the reason I have issue with that is because I think LSU 2019 is probably the best college team of all time.
Well,
when
I
you
just
look
think,
at their output in the NFL.
I just
like,
think
like,
he
dude,
meant the
on.
Way they're winning games.
Sure.
And yeah, I don't think
I
he meant, like, that they could beat them or that they are that quality of a team. I just think he means when they're winning games. The reality, though, is LSU 2019 has to deal with what Miami might have to deal with. And I don't think this Miami team's near as good. I think that they're going to get got, but I just think it might be in the college football playoff. Mm. And I told a buddy of mine that you and I saw Friday at Parlor's Golf Tournament.
Big Miami guy.
I was like, I'm sorry, man, but I ain't pulling for y'all. Well, I don't pull against you. Yes, you do. And I'm not pulling for y'all. Sorry. Hate it for you.
Oh, man.
When we come back, I'm taking over. Mic'd up. With the game that you guys know I love to play, but I'm actually going to be hosting
what?
It this time.
No, I enjoy beating Tiff every
he
time.
Is. Yeah. Hey, Tiff, you hear that? He's scared.
You are
he's scared.
Scared.
He's a little bit fearful.
Scared. Is Dylan still the judge?
He's still the judge.
All right, Dylan.
Things may get interesting.
You know who's got your back on this show.
When we come back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, wanted to take this time before we get to a thrilling edition of Mic'd Up with me hosting Which One Wednesday. To just give Bo a nod. I want to make him feel good, uplift him before he possibly gets crushed in defeat. You were an ambassador at your alma mater last night, were you not?
Well, I went back. I went back for the first time. Yeah, I went back with my buddy Chaz, who is at New Realm and the Owl Inn Lager. It was cool to see it there, by the way, like in the stands. And yeah, I went back and graced my alma mater with my presence, and they laid out a red carpet.
I was going to ask.
They put a crown on me. I had a robe, and one of those the king robe thing. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, yeah, and
were
we won.
Throwing flower petals at your feet too.
You know, I had to have security, Dylan.
I was going to ask if you were flanked by security detail.
Yeah, I had Hunter McKay. He was my security thing.
I don't understand why y'all are both just. Like, y'all are diving in with this man right now, both of y'all. It'd be shameful.
You know,
there's
cool?
a lot to be inferred by the tone.
Can I real quick? And there's one of the Kennesaw State players, one of our starters. I think his last name is Colette. His cousin played for the team that they played last night. So their grandma sat next to us in the stands, and
she had
the split shirt.
Yes.
And I'm gonna tell you something. Like the sweetest lady, she sits down. She goes, "I just want you to know, I'm not crazy. I know you might think that when I start cheering for both teams, but I got two grandbabies out there tonight, and they're on separate teams, and they were both starters, and it was really cool.
That is cool.
I was really cool to see, and she was. She cheered for both teams the entire game. I get a lot of respect. So that was kind of. It was cool though. It was fun to go back. Thank you.
See, if I had to choose between you guys, I don't know if I'd wear a split jersey.
Wow. Leads me to the next question. What would you wear?
She would pull, you know, it'd be like I feel when New Orleans and Tampa play each other. Can they both lose? Can the stadium just, you know, cave in or something?
Yeah, it's like me watching an Auburn Tennessee game.
Okay. Yeah, I don't care who wins.
Let's hit it, Dylon. Might need a personal injury lawyer after this.
I'm not losing the week. I got my girl Piper. She's listening in. She wants me to bring home the victory. So I'm going to take down Alabama.
Disappoint kids? That's unfortunate.
No, I don't disappoint anybody.
Sorry, Piper. You have to hear this.
All right. First one for Which One Wednesday.
All right. Here we go.
What team is more likely to turn things around in the future? Mike Norvell in FSU or Billy Napier at Florida?
Well, I'll go ahead and take this. It's clearly Billy Napier in Florida. See, he's already got a foundation, Tiff. He has Jaden Bond, and he has DJ Lagway. He is going to get another year there because of the turnaround. They've got a DC in place. The defense has gotten better. See, Florida has progressed, which makes me feel like there is hope. While Mike Norvell has had a dumpster fire at the end of last season because of the way the season played out with guys opting out at the end, and it's just turned into a forest fire at this point. And there's no firefighters anywhere. They don't have the helicopters with water.
The blaze.
It's just a dumpster fire.
That's a cute thought and everything. But why hasn't Billy Napier done it yet? You don't think he's had time? Let me tell you about Florida State and Mike Norvell.
When they
go do things, they do it through the transfer portal. Do they not? They did that before last season. It led them to a number 5 ranking at the end of the year. They did it before this year. They swung and missed on DJ Uiagalelei. Mike Norvell has a $70 million buyout. He's going to get all the time in the world, and he ain't going nowhere. All right, Billy Napier, he gets beat too bad this next weekend. He might be fired. All right, so let's just. I understand the roses you want to throw the Gators and everybody else. Right now, Billy Napier's had plenty of time to do it. Mike Norvell has already proven
Dylan,
he can coach a team into the top 10.
Going against his morals just for victory.
He's already proven he can do it, Dylon.
Hey, what
so
did he prove?
So far, your meat's getting cooked. All right. If the Eagles
be close.
That better be a cut.
All right,
next up.
I cook my own meat.
If the Eagles crush the Cowboys, will Mike McCarthy still be the head coach in Dallas? And we're talking about a shellacking like Detroit put on them.
No. And I think it's very simple right now. It seems like the call on Dak Prescott to go on IR, some of the trades you've already made, even though they brought in a wide receiver, he made it very clear it was for the long term. All right, Jerry Jones has already been on the edge. Mike McCarthy, a lot of people thought he should have been fired last year. All right, some people thought he should have been fired the year before. Also, the fact that Kellen Moore is your offensive coordinator up in Philadelphia and doing great things in an ascending offense for Philadelphia right now makes you look back a little bit at Mike McCarthy and say, you know what? Maybe Kellen Moore wasn't the issue. Maybe Dan Quinn wasn't the issue. Maybe Mike McCarthy is the issue moving forward. I think Jerry Jones has his finger on the button, and I think he's ready to push it after this weekend if things get sideways.
No, he's not going to fire in season. That's why Jerry has made some of the moves he's had. The last time they had an interim head coach was Jason Garrett, 2010, but they went 5-3, and they They felt like they had a chance to win that year. If Jerry has indeed kicked on the season, as Mike has proclaimed many times on this show, then he's not going to fire McCarthy this year because Jerry Jones doesn't want to look like a laughingstock. It's very guys that are that have egos, a little bit narcissistic at times. You heard his interviews. They're not going to – they don't want to make themselves look like a laughingstock unless Jerry wants to coach the team himself, which, hell, he could do. I mean, he worked out for old Ted. Let me make
a counterpoint because you just said when Jason Garrett did it, they thought they had a chance to win that year. That's not what this year is for the Dallas Cowboys.
That's why they won't. That's why they won't punt in season.
Since we discussed this earlier, who is more likely to survive their significant other leaving them? Which one of these guys is more likely to survive should their significant other say, hey, kick rocks, we're done?
It is. Who's it down between? This is a hard question.
This is between. So us? It's between. Yes, you can decide between everybody. I'm including Day-Day, Dylan, yourself when Mike debates you, and then
go ahead and throw yourself under the bus real quick.
I'm most likely to survive if my significant other left me.
We need a good. Give me a good. Oh my goodness. What is a good reason why you will survive?
I hope she's listening.
Well, I'm a strong man, Tiffany, and I will tell you that I have a great support system. I have good friends, and I have good immediate family. I don't have no cousins or anything. I don't. I have good support system, but I'm a strong individual.
Yeah,
and I won't ever have to deal with this because I have a beautiful, loving wife who will be all this.
You
ain't gonna win.
Circle back.
But me, because Mike, look at Mike. Mike can't go a weekend without Lindsay. He's done without her.
Here's the bottom line.
You ain't gonna
win
this argument.
I actually agree with his answer, but I think he's going about it from the complete wrong direction. And it has nothing to do with his friend group or anything like that. It has to do with the fact that I would collapse without my wife over in my corner. And he knows that because he's been around me and my wife. There's no way that I could do any of the parenting stuff or any of the stuff that I want to do without my wife being in my corner. I agree with Bo. He is definitely built to survive that way more than I am, but it's a me thing. It ain't a Bo thing.
Like
it's
a
me thing.
Find a way.
What Mike's trying to tell you is between the four men in this studio, Day-Day and I are the only ones that wear the pants in our family.
I can't knock Day-Day down.
I have one more to get to, but I'm going to slip in this other one. So who would be least likely to survive? Just give me your quick answers. Out of everyone in this group, aside from myself.
Uh-oh. People are listening. They're going to tell me.
You're done, son.
It's me. It's me.
You're least. Okay.
It's me. I'm least likely to survive. Okay. And I'll wear that proudly. I think, look, Dylan's got his own thing going on. She might leave him in a couple weeks. It is what it is. Sorry to hear about that.
Quickly, Bo.
Day-Day, look, man, he's longer in the tooth. He knows his way around the
streets. The least likely to survive is Mike.
Yeah.
Mike is.
Yeah, I'll wear that
Mike,
crown.
Look, he's nothing without his woman. All right?
All right. Last one here. We're going MLB and Max Fried. What would pain you more? To see him leave the Braves and end up in L.A. with the Dodgers or with the Phillies. There were some reports about him, maybe he'll reunite with his former teammate in L.A. and Freddie Freeman.
Undoubtedly the Phillies. Not only do you lose him to a rival, and you lose him to a team that you have to face. How many times a year we have to face
like
Max Fried?
It's not as many as it used to be, but yeah.
Yeah.
Like 12.
Let me tell you something. I'm old enough to remember when Tom Glavine didn't resign with the Braves and went to the Mets, that was brutal.
Make me vomit.
In fact, I despised him for a while.
Yeah. I'm on board with you, but I think kind of laying off the Dodgers too much here. The Dodgers are the reigning World Series champs. And your goal ultimately, Tiff, last time I checked, was to win a World Series here. So when you look at the World Series champs and all the stuff they have going on and think of the fact that they would add a dog like a Max Fried to that rotation makes them inevitably terrifying to the rest of the National League and to the rest of Major League Baseball. So, yes, it would make me sick for him to be in a Phillies uniform, but I don't think these are your ultimate test, although they are a rival. I think the litmus test in Major League Baseball, I don't want to see Max Fried even near that rotation.
All right, Dylan, what say you?
Man, this was very close to call. I'm going to make the decision that
Mike Mafia.
This whole system is rigged. I don't accept those results.
We are not doing that.
It was close. That was a very, very tough decision.
So rigged.
We've only had two tough decisions like that, I think, in the history of Which One Wednesday, but that was one.
You
of
know
them.
What disappoints me the most? You out. I didn't take any shots like he did. He basically said Simone was going to leave you.
That's true, but look, it's not about that. It's about, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah,
whole
that's thing. What it's about. He was in there quite a few minutes this morning.
It's unfortunate for you, but hold that L proud. When we come
nice
back,
job, Tiff.
We'll get you back to college football, 12-team college football playoff rankings. That is next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.